Happy New Year. So good to see you guys. Let me just flash back a little bit. My wife and I were out shopping some time ago, and an elderly woman began to check us out. And as she made conversation, I just stopped and asked, I said, "How are you doing today, Dot?" And as I asked her that question, you could see that her eyes were just like staring intently. She was focused on me, trying to understand the context that she knew me from. She looked a little bewildered, a little bit confused, and she just paused, and after what felt like an eternity, I let her off the hook. And I said, "Dot, I don't know you. I just read your name tag." And she looked relieved, and then she said, "Oh, well, thank you for noticing. Most people don't notice." And that's easy to do, isn't it? To not really notice people, but just to kind of know them for their function rather than to see them as people. And when we stop, though, and learn the name of people, the person who serves our coffee, who waits our table, who delivers our mail, it begins to change that relationship. You know, we begin to care about them. We begin to know a little bit about them, maybe if they're married, if they have kids, kind of what their life situation is, what some of their hopes and dreams are. In fact, I'm always amazed. I think of one of our board members who, when he lived here, went to his favorite restaurant all the time and got to know one of the servers. And really, it was really funny. They changed from them being served by him to they invited him to come to their house and they served him meals and eventually bought him a car, like, because he needed one, and it just helped his life situation amazing. And it's just crazy, once you begin to know somebody, how much it completely changes the relationship. Again, when you stop focusing just on what they do for us, and instead start seeing them in terms of who they are. In the same way, it completely changes things when we look at God this way. When we stop seeing him in terms of function, what God does for us, and just begin to admire and find the beauty in his form, who he is, and not just what he does. So today, we're going to do that. We're going to spend some time focusing on God, and we're going to learn God's personal name and what that means for us, so that we can gain a better understanding of who God is with the hope and belief that this will deepen our intimacy with him and cause us just to grow deeper and deeper in relationship with him. So to do that, we're going to look at this extraordinary encounter that Moses had with God, in which God revealed to Moses that God is exactly what Moses needs, and that we'll be able to see that God is also exactly who we need today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus. It's the second book in the Bible, Exodus chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles with you today, you can follow along on the screens as always. And it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sign, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover," he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from a land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this will be a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed then, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. First thing we want to take a look at today is that God wants your attention. You see, in this passage that we look at, we see Moses doing something extraordinarily common. He's tending sheep. I mean, there's nothing really super noteworthy about that. I mean, it's kind of dull. I mean, anyone here like excited? Right? It's just not that riveting. And so, however, these ordinary circumstances set the stage for the extraordinary that's about to happen. Moses comes across a burning bush in the desert. Now, if you're tending sheep, that's kind of interesting. Something's on fire. I love fire. So that would get, right, that would get my attention for just a moment. But it's even more interesting than that because Moses sees that not only is it on fire, but it's not being consumed. Now, that is really going to get your attention. And so I love what he says there. He says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Which is a great idea, but normally you just do it, right? You don't really have to say it. But anyway, he says it, and he does it. And as Moses turns his attention to this extraordinary sight, he hears a voice. And all of a sudden, this day, this ordinary day as it began, takes this radical shift as Moses realizes that God is talking to him. It's just not a normal day at the office anymore because he's hanging with God. The God who, as he points out, was the God of his ancestors that they worshipped and had spoken to, interacted with, is now talking to him. And Moses listened, but he turned away because he was afraid to stare at God. And nevertheless, God got exactly what he wanted from Moses, his attention. And this brings us to really an amazing teaching in the Judeo-Christian worldview, and that's the Bible teaches this concept of revelation. You see, God isn't this vague mystery that cannot be discovered. He isn't an abstract force that's impersonal and out there somewhere. No, instead, God is a distinct being who chooses to reveal himself in many ways to his creation, and he is not ambivalent about our response. It's his desire that we pay attention to what he says. You see, God reveals himself in many different ways. God reveals himself through creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, beauty, nature, many different things. I mean, the cry of a baby, the love of a parent instantly that forms for this life that they didn't know very long ago. God reveals himself through Scripture. As we look at the Bible, it's an amazing book. We're going to start a series about how awesome it is in just a couple of weeks. But as you look at it, the pages of Scripture bring revelation, understanding of who God is, our origin story, our destination, promises, just rich insight. He also reveals himself through Jesus. Again, we just wrapped up kind of a month focusing on Jesus and the Christmas story. But in that story, we recognize that God became man and lived among us, and in Jesus, the essence of God was revealed in human flesh. You see, in many different ways, God is trying to cut through all of the noise and just break through and get our attention. The challenge for many of us is it's kind of hard to get our attention. It's like we've all come down with a global case of attention deficit disorder, right? We've all got it. And God is, again, trying to break through. And for many of us, I think, like, if we had experienced what Moses had, if we saw a burning bush that was right in front of us, and it wasn't burning up, we'd probably stop for a moment. We'd probably, you know, get out our phones, take a picture of it, post it on Instagram with a pithy statement, and walk away. Maybe check an hour later to see if we got any likes. But again, God is really trying to get our attention. We are just so distracted in life, aren't we? I know that I am. I mean, it's painfully easy for me to be distracted from the things that matter most by things that are kind of trivial. And it's just this thing that we have so many things going on, we have so much white noise in our lives, that it can be difficult for God to break through to us. And so in Moses' case, God did an unusual thing and sought to reveal himself through Moses through a burning bush in the middle of the desert. But listen, whatever way God chooses to get your attention or my attention, we can learn from Moses a valuable tip. Go ahead and give God your attention. Again, I will now turn aside. And it's important for us, as God gets our attention, to say to ourselves and do this, I will now turn aside and give my attention to God. Listen, if you ever wonder, is God really there? If you ever wonder if he cares about you, if he's trying to speak to you, if you matter to him enough for him to try to communicate and help you, then follow Moses' example and give God your attention. You see what this requires? Focus. Intentionality. It means letting God interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, whether that's tending sheep, selling insurance, or anything else that it might be, and instead letting God just have that focus at that time. It means listening. It means tuning out the distractions and the noise and tuning in to the God who wants to speak to us today. And you see, every day it's important that we give God our attention. And maybe you don't know, I hope many of you are in the habits of doing some form of daily devotional. But listen, that's the purpose of a daily devotional. It's not for the sake of checking off some religious duty on our task list. It's not something that makes us more right with God. It's a practical way to give God our attention. It doesn't make us more righteous. It makes us more available. But it is, again, it's important to take some time and give that to God, whatever that looks like, a time of prayer, a time of reading scripture, a time of journaling, and where we intentionally focus and give him that attention. And maybe as we look forward in 2018, what that means for you is setting something in place. I heard my daughter on her iPod yesterday, it kept going off, and like, what? She set alarms for herself to do soccer practices. And I think, oh, that's great. Maybe for us, it takes an alarm on our phone to go off at a certain time every day. Say, oh, I got to give attention to God today. If that's what it takes, it's okay. I actually have in my calendar time to pray certain things. And so making this time and setting aside is extremely important. Because God is seeking us and he wants our attention. I saw a pastor posted on Facebook this week something I love. He said in 2018, don't spend a lot of time trying to be like Jesus. Instead, spend as much time as you can with Jesus, and then you'll become more like him. And I think that's exactly right, because I think that's the part we can control, is positioning ourselves before God. It's important to do that daily. It's also important to gather as a church each week, to come together. It's why the Bible actually teaches that this is a priority, that we should gather together and not be an afterthought. It isn't about making us right with God. That's not why we gather as a church. Jesus already made us right with God. It's about coming together and giving God our attention, so that through worship, through the teaching of God's word, through fellowship and encouragement with one another, we can give God our attention and we can come to know God more deeply. And I just want to encourage you. I don't normally do this, but as you set for 2018, think about how you can plan to make that a priority this year so that you can grow closer to God. And I will call out one week. Next week is Vision Sunday. And I'm so excited because we're going to talk about our focus for the entire year, how that will impact you, how we think it will benefit you in many ways. It's going to be a very practical vision and theme, and it's going to manifest itself in lots of different ways and work its way through in a lot of the different ministries and teaching and things that we do in 2018. And I just want to encourage you to be on board and come out next week for that. It's going to be important. And so listen, whatever the case, as we think about it personally, as we think about it collectively, God wants our attention. And as we think about that, Moses gave God his attention. And as we come to God, we find out something interesting about God. And that is this, that God sees your situation. See, as Moses leaned in and gave God his undivided attention, God shared something that would have been very comforting to Moses and the nation of Israel. He says, I know what you're going through. He saw their situation. The extreme challenges that the people were facing was not news to him. God says, I've seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. You see, this nation of people that was supposed to be a great nation had now been slaves for 400 years. God says, I've heard the cries of their taskmasters. You see, the Egyptian army was built on the back of Jewish slaves, and the work just kept getting harder and harder. And these cries were not just going up and bouncing off the stars somewhere. They were being heard by God. And God also says, I know their sorrows. In other words, he empathizes with the aching in their souls. And see, Moses also had a burden for these people, and his soul ached over their plight. And now, as Moses leaned in to what God was saying to him, as he gave his attention, it must have been super encouraging to hear that God not only understood the situation, but God also cared deeply about Moses and his people. And the really cool thing is that God also sees your situation. See, he knows exactly what's going on in our world. It's not news to him. He knows how messed up things are, and it bothers him even more than it bothers us. He sees the murder, the rape, the theft. He sees the injustice, the racism, the sexism. He sees the violence, the exploitation, all the evil that men do. He sees the diseases, the famines, the pain, the suffering. He sees the things that break us down and for many of us make us hopeless and helpless. He sees the sadness, the anger, the fear that all of us feel and have felt at certain points in our lives. He sees everything. You see, not only collectively, but God also sees your personal situation. If we're honest, we are a mess. I mean, we spend a lot of time trying to convince people the opposite, but we're in church, so we can be honest. We're broken. The people we love are broken. And difficulty seems ever present, and grief and pain never too far removed. Just this week, my friend Greg and I, we were friends in high school, and we made music together. We have a truly awful demo tape that I still listen to from time to time just for laughs. But we reconnected a few years ago on Facebook just to talk music, family, and things like that. And just this past week, I was shocked to see that he died a couple of weeks ago and didn't even know that. And it just hit me hard, like out of nowhere. Yeah, there's just always stuff. There's always something that we're processing. There's always some difficulty that we have to deal with. We dealt with it this week. A sister in our church body. Many of you know Barb Jackson. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news for those that don't know and that knew her, but she went home to be with Jesus a few days ago. And as we consider that, as we consider Barbara, we're thankful now because knowing all that she was going through physically, it's wonderful to know that she's whole now. She's with Jesus. She's happier than we are right now. And yet, it's still hard because you care about someone and it breaks you. The same way with Jesus, when his friend died, Lazarus, he didn't say, hey, don't worry about it. We're just going to resurrect him. It's going to be fine. No, he wept. He cried because he also saw the pain. He saw the difficulty that all of this brings to humanity. And so God sees everything. In our church community, He knows. I mean, listen, there are people dealing with marital issues here, financial issues here, health issues here, sin issues here. Some of it we see, some of it we don't see, but God sees it all. God is deeply acquainted with the things that bother you most. The thoughts that rattle through your head and keep you up at night when everyone else is asleep. He sees the insecurities that you mask from the people around you. He sees your problems. He sees your relational problems, financial problems, health problems, vocational problems. He sees everything that fills you with anxiety. He sees your hidden addictions that nobody else knows about. He sees the oppression in your life, hears your cries, and knows your sorrows. This God who reveals himself to us sees our personal situation and our collective situation. And here is where it gets really good. We're just going to go right to the third point here. And it's like, we're going to spend more time there than the second point. It'll be imbalanced if you keep track of such things. But that's okay. Because I think it's more important to spend our focus talking about this final thing. And that is this. God is your solution. I didn't say God has your solution. I intentionally said, he is your solution. See, God proposes an interesting thing to deal with when it came to the plight of his people. He said, Moses, I'm sending you to deliver them, which is a pattern. God always involves people in his work. He's the one that does these things, but he always involves people in his redemptive work. And then Moses has this moment where he pours out all of his fears and insecurities, you know, all the things we go through when we're sensing God wants us to do something. You know, why me? There's 100 other people that could do this a lot better than me, maybe thousands of people. God, why are you picking me? But God, instead of trying to answer that, just says, it gives him the reason why he could be confident. He says this, I will be with you. And as Moses presses further, he's basically asking God for a business card. He's like, all right, listen, I go to them and say all this lofty stuff. Who shall I say sent me? And then God does something amazing. Something that tells Moses and tells us that God wants us to know him personally. He wants us to know him by name. He tells him his name. Did you guys know God had a name? By the way, it's not just God. He has a name. He has a personal name. And again, that kind of changes things, doesn't it? It goes from this, you know, God-force thing to this personal being. It moves us from a functional God to a personal one. You see, in verse 14, God says, tell them, I am who I am, sent me. And in verse 15, God tells them, the Lord sent me. Now, at first glance, we might think that word Lord is just sort of a title. But as we dig a little bit deeper, we get to the rich revelation in this passage. Because every time you see the word Lord in all caps in your Bible, in our English Bibles, we are actually reading the personal name of God, Yahweh, or Jehovah. The truth is, we don't exactly know which one, and the reason for that is the Jewish people had such a healthy fear of God, and they were so intent on not taking one of the Ten Commandments in names by, you know, taking the name of the Lord in vain, that they took this seriously. In fact, they would never say his name. They wouldn't even say, you know, the consonants. They would just say the name. And everyone knew he was talking about, hey, I was talking to the name today. It's like, oh, this is a powerful thing. And instead of writing out the full name when they wrote in the scriptures, they would only write the consonants. They would not write the vowels. And so it was YHWH. And, you know, how that works out is it some make this Yahweh, some make this Jehovah. We really aren't certain. For our purposes today, we're going to stick with Yahweh. But this is the most common name for God used in the Bible. It's used 6,828 times. And God says, this is my name forever. All generations shall call me this. Now, when Rebecca and I picked out names for all three of our girls, I mean, we certainly thought about the meanings and wanted that to be a part of the equation. But frankly, we thought also a lot, and I don't know what percentage, about how the name sounded, right? We lived in South Florida. We were originally going to call Emily Ella, but then we were thinking about Ella Lamore, kind of like Ella, 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 you know, there was that kind of a thing. And then the other thing, we lived in Miami, so, oh, Ella. It's like, oh, girl. You know, it was just kind of with a lot of Spanish speaking. So it just didn't work out. So Emily was a great name. But the thing is, we spend some time thinking about the meaning, but in those times, a lot more people spent time focusing what someone's name meant, often characterized who they were. So what does the name Yahweh mean? I want to share a brief quote from Nathan Stone's book, The Names of God, which is really a phenomenal book if you're looking something to add to your reading list this year. But first, he quotes Exodus 3:13, and the Lord said to Moses, I am who I am. And then he adds this. The words could be rendered, I will be that I will be. And often the word is used in that sense, I will be with you. Its origin is exactly the same as that of Jehovah being existence, and certainly denotes the one who will always be personal, continuous, absolute existence. The point here, however, is that when God wished to make a special revelation to himself, he used the name Jehovah. As Jehovah, he is especially the God of revelation to creatures who can apprehend and appreciate the infinite, the becoming one. Man, it's 2 weeks in a row. I'll go ahead and pick it up this time. But the name of God carries his essence as someone who embodied divine salvation. In other words, God wants our attention, and he lets us know he sees our situation, and then he declares, I am the solution. God is I am. I am what? I am what you need is what God declares to the world. He told Moses, I have come down to deliver and rescue. In other words, God isn't far off somewhere in the distance in heaven, passively watching, but he enters our world, our experience, and he rescues. And this is exactly what we see in Jesus. You see, Jesus came down to deliver and rescue. Jesus personifies divine salvation. God so wanted our attention that he came down to us. Jesus became one of us, and he lived amongst us. He rubbed up against the worst of us, the sinners, the drunkards, the prostitutes, the cheaters, the freaks, the marginalized. Everybody that nobody else would want anything to do with, Jesus was there. And he spent time with them and revealed himself. And he saw our individual pain and our collective pain. He sees the oppression in your life, hears your cries, and knows your sorrows. And not the least of all of this was our sin problem. In other words, we've all done things that God's revelation warned us not to do, and we've all had things done to us that God's revelation would have warned other people not to do. Those things are called sin, and so thus all of us are sinners. And sin, according to God's written revelation, carries just nasty consequence. There is physical death. Ultimately, it places us under the curse of death where we physically will die. It also causes spiritual death. It separates us relationally from Yahweh, from the God who wants our attention and our affection. Despite that, God still loved us and came down in the form of Jesus to rescue us. He demonstrated that love by enduring a grueling death on the cross to stand in the gap and pay the penalty for our sins, for the sins of the oppressed and the oppressors alike. Jews, Gentiles, which means basically people from all different nationalities, people all over the earth, he gave this open invitation for all people that stands. Those of us that would believe and those of us that would receive this gift of salvation, which is God himself, are reconnected relationally to this God. So when it comes to our sin problem, which really is the cause of all the problems that we see in our lives and in our world, ultimately, Jesus can honestly say, I am what you need. And that's exactly what he declared and he expressed more fully through his seven I am statements in the New Testament. Jesus said, I am, seven different times, and he defined himself and what that means to us. He says, I am the bread of life. I will satisfy your appetites at the deepest level. He said, I am the light of the world. I will help you navigate through this dark, confusing place. He said, I am the good shepherd. I will take care of you. He said, I am the true vine. If you want to grow, then you've got to stay connected to me. He said, I am the door. I am the way that you access God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, there is no other way to God other than through me. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you may die, you will live again. You see, that's what we celebrate on Easter, that Jesus was the first among the resurrection. He saw our situation, he stepped in our place, he died, and then he stepped out of the grave 3 days later, forever conquering sin and death, and boldly declaring to the world, I am what you need. You see, God demanded Moses' attention with a spectacular sign, a burning bush. And God also demands our attention with the spectacular, an empty tomb. That's this thing that should always grab our attention and turn us back to him. So the question is, will we follow Moses' example and respond? Will we also say and practice, as Moses said, I will now turn aside. You see, he turned from the course he was on, and he turned in a different direction. He turned in God's direction, which is exactly what repentance is. You see, sometimes you hear this word, and it sounds so bad, so archaic, so terrible. It's actually one of the most liberating, healing, refreshing things that we can do. It literally means to change the way we think, to move from a direction that's going nowhere and instead turn to the direction of life, to turn in God's direction, because God has been calling out to you. God's been trying to get your attention. He sees the oppression in your life. He hears the cries and knows your sorrows. He came down to your rescue. And you see, repentance is simply saying yes to the rescue, and it opens the door for us to experience Yahweh, to experience salvation. It means being restored to him who is exactly what you need. Now, as the first Sunday in 2018, not only do I want to give a chance in a moment for anyone who has never begun a relationship with this God to do so, I want to give an opportunity for all of us who already know him to really repent today in that sense of the world where we choose intentionally to turn aside from things that have been distracting us and instead to give him our attention right now. Because listen, you know, high, low, up, down, wherever we are right now, he is exactly what you need. And so here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Here's what I'm going to ask all of you to do. Would you close your eyes for just a moment? What I'm going to ask, and my hand will be up since you can't see, is that for anyone who wants to, I'm going to say a prayer over us. And for those of you that say, include me on this prayer, go ahead and just raise your hand. We don't always do that here. But as a show of faith today, those of you that just say, in 2018, I want to give God my attention. I need him now more than ever. As a show of faith, go ahead and raise your hand right now. And I see all your hands. And I want to pray over us because my hand's raised too. Dear God, we know today that we stand on holy ground because wherever your presence is holy. And so I pray that you'd help us today. God, we give you our attention right now, and we ask that you'd forgive us from being distracted by many different things, by sin, sometimes just good things that get us out of focus and keep us away from you. And God, as we go forward today, help us to continue to give you our attention each day, each week, and so that you can do in us what you want to do, and you can reveal yourself to us in such a way that we can fall more deeply in love with you and appreciate who you are every single day. God, you see our situation. You see the things that we're doing that are just making our life worse. You see the things that we're going through that's no fault of our own, that is difficult and challenging for us. And we just bring these things to you now. God, we know you will help us. We know you hear our cries. We know that our cries don't come back empty, but they go to your ears. So we thank you for that. We also know, God, and believe that you are our solution. You are Yahweh. You are the becoming one. You are exactly what we need. You are Jesus. And so we just revel in you today, and we pray that we'd find our solution in you. Forgive us, God, for trying to find our solution in anyone or anything else that can't deliver what you can. But God, help us more and more trust you sufficiently to find our strength and truly believe that you are what we need. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that are here today, and you've never begun this relationship, I want to give you an opportunity to begin that today. It just simply means accepting. We talked about how Jesus came down. God loves you so much. He came to the earth. He became one of us. He died for us. And what Scripture teaches is if you want to respond to that, you simply believe in your heart and just that Jesus is Lord and that he's risen from the dead. And you'll begin this relationship. It's inviting this responding to this work that God is doing. If you want to do that today, I will say a prayer. And here's all I'm asking you to do. And again, you know, eyes closed. Once again, let's create the space for everybody. Pray for those of you that are already in faith today. Pray for those that are not. And those of you that are here today, if you want, you don't need to come up. I'm not going to make a scene or anything. But if you want to commit your life to Jesus for the first time and you want to respond and begin an encounter with him, go ahead and raise your hand. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you can say to God today. I see your hand, and now I'm going to offer this prayer. If that's you, just say this prayer in your heart. And for anyone else, even if you didn't raise your hand, it's not your hand raised. It's the expression of faith that you place in God. Just say, "Dear God, thank you for who you are and for what you did. You died so that I can live. I believe in you. I offer my life to you as you offered your life for me. Please forgive me. Please heal me. From this day forward, I'm yours. Help me walk out a relationship with you today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, for those that began that relationship today, you can come over to this side and where it says New to Jesus. We'd love to give you a new Bible to get you started in that spiritual journey and have people that can answer any questions that you might have. Also over here, if you just need some more prayer today and just need to bring some things to light and just ask God to help you in some way, to encourage you in some way, then please come forward here. But for the rest of us, may you give God your attention. May you see that he is your solution and believe that he really is exactly what you need. God bless you.